I want to say, as I, well, I do in my written report, I'm very grateful for the leadership of our vestry, both this particular one and over the years. We have been blessed with really, really faithful and godly lay leaders in this parish. And it both makes the rector's job much easier on the one hand and more challenging on the other, because I can't get away with anything. So thank you, all vestry members particularly. I do want to add one other thing. I should have said when we had the vestry election that it's also customary at the annual meeting for the rector to announce the appointment of a senior warden for the year to come. I'm pleased to appoint Sharon Steinmiller to that office. Most of us who are members know Sharon. She is not here today because she is preaching in another congregation on World Mission Sunday, which she is eminently qualified to do. So please pray for Sharon and for our vestry, and prepare to fasten our seatbelts, because I do sense we're going to be in for an exciting time at Church of the Savior. It's now time for the rector's address. I'll try to keep it as brief as I can. Much of it really has already been said, so I may skip some parts on that script. We'll see. So I don't usually give a title to the rector's address at our annual meetings, but this year, as I was asking the Lord for an illustration or an anecdote to begin, instead he gave me a title: Building a Firm Foundation for the Future. So that's how we're going to begin: Building a Firm Foundation for the Future. You know, if you look at that picture, it doesn't look like a whole lot, does it? It's not really a place I'd be interested in dwelling or inhabiting, but without it, you're not going to have anything to build. So for many of us, it may be that the highlight of 2022 was the triennial New Wineskins Conference for Global Mission, held at the end of September at the Ridgecrest Conference Center in Western North Carolina. I have to say that it certainly was a personal highlight for me. Between the stimulating conversation carpooling down and back, the incredibly beautiful fall weather in the Blue Ridge, and the always challenging presentations in both the plenary sessions and workshops, there was plenty to contemplate, as those of us who attended were built up and encouraged in our own personal walk in loving obedience to Jesus and his commands, and especially his command to make disciples of all nations, beginning right where we are. Yet perhaps the best part of the conference for me was the people who were there. To begin with, 16 of us from Church of the Savior. Our one relatively small congregation made up exactly 1% of the 1,600 people in total attendance at the conference. Perhaps even more amazingly, between those of us who attended from here and our alumni, we counted an additional 29 past members of Church of the Savior who have been part of the parish, who have gone on since elsewhere to ordained ministry or perhaps cross-cultural service. Included in that number were one current Anglican Church of North America bishop, a current archbishop in another Anglican province. The 45 total COTS members and alumni made up nearly 3% of the entire conference attendance. It's not bad. But as astonishing as that circumstance may be, afterwards, Sharon Steinmiller was reminding me that in the now almost 40-year history of New Wineskins, there have been three directors of the organization: Walter and Louise Hannum, some of us may remember, Sharon herself, and now Jenny Noyes. And yes, you guessed it, all three have been members at one time or another of Church of the Savior. That's an incredible legacy of one small church, not yet 40 years out from having been planted. A legacy of equipping sending, and supporting a much wider swath of the church than we could ever be, on mission to extend the kingdom of God and see the nations won for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a legacy that makes me proud to be the rector of this parish. It's a legacy of which you and I can both be justly proud. It's a legacy, finally, for which we can and must give great thanks to God, whose Spirit has enabled it. But you'll notice that the title the Lord gave me for this address was Building a Firm Foundation for the Future. When all is said and done, the legacy of our involvement in mission and outreach, as seen specifically in our connection with New Wineskins, is just that, a legacy. Legacy has to do with the past, not with the future. No church, for that matter, no institution, can long exist whose primary focus is in the past. If we are to be a community of people attempting together to live in loving obedience to Jesus and his commands, there's a place, a really important place, that we rightly celebrate our past and continue to build on it. But our focus must be future-oriented. I'd be taking a risk if I tried to develop too far any analogy about building on a foundation for the future Church of the Savior when I know that we have at least three contractors in our congregation and several others who know a whole lot more about construction than I do. But even I know that when you're building a house, your foundation has to be right for the rest of the house to be right. And actually, there's one thing before even that. Before you ever build the foundation, you have to dig out the space for the basement. And that's really where Church of the Savior is today. We've just come through this episode of pandemic. And one way of looking at the pandemic is that it cost us 2, even 3 years of productive ministry. In place of what might have been, there's this empty space, this hole. Another way of looking at the pandemic, reframing it, is that the hole the pandemic has left behind is exactly the right shape to hold the foundation for the future that God wants to build here for life and ministry moving forward. A future that will, to be sure, contain elements of the past, but it will also be different from that past. Let's begin by taking a brief look at the hole that has been left by the pandemic. I want to speak only briefly to it because our primary task today is think about how we'll move forward, but it will help us to recollect together what it is we're moving forward from. During the pandemic, we lost the Village Church program. Our church school and nursery, which were admittedly already struggling for consistency, stopped meeting. The Kyrie Cafe pivoted to serving meals in the parking lot, but we lost the fellowship component, as we did virtually all other opportunities for fellowship. And dwarfing all these others, in December 2021, within a 10-day period, we lost our 2 most gifted evangelists to COVID. While 2022 is different, there was still a similar theme of loss for us. I really am not sure that there's a family or an individual in the parish who didn't experience either the death or the serious illness of at least one family member or loved one in 2022. And we all lost our beloved Bishop John Rogers. Collectively, these losses in the past several years have left a very big hole in the life and in the heart of Church of the Savior. Yet we're far enough along the road out of pandemic to start thinking about how God may want to fill that hole. So think of it again as the cellar hole for the new foundation, for the foundation in the next season of the life of Church of the Savior. We're still going to be Church of the Savior. Same vision, same values, same DNA. But in terms of our ministry and mission, we're in a season where we not need, but get to rebuild from the ground up. I'll say it again. We don't need to rebuild. We get to rebuild from the ground up. And as we enter 2023, we're now at the place where we can think about what it is that's going to fill that hole. What kind of community of disciples of Jesus God wants to be putting together at Church of the Savior this year and in the time to come to serve the needs of Ambridge and, as he wills, the other places to which he will send folks out from here. Because I'm confident of this. I don't have a clue what this looks like, by the way, in case anybody wants to know. That's what we have to discern. But I'm confident that part of the future Church of the Savior is going to continue to include being a sending congregation. It's what we do. It's what we do. Nonetheless, it's not necessarily going to look exactly as it has looked. So 2023 is going to be a crucial year for us in which much will be put in place that is going to guide and shape our life for a number of years to come. So what might be some of the things we look at this year? Well, Bill has already very nicely alluded to the chief one in his explanation of our budget. One thing that's going to be different in 2023 and moving forward is there's not going to be any more building mortgage to burden our operating budget. As Bill said, in your budget document, in your report, you'll see the major change in 2023. The $26,000 that we'll save from prior year's debt service on our building is divided pretty evenly between restoring the rector's salary to its pre-2018 level and a fund to be held in reserve to help pay for pastoral succession down the road. Your vestry and I have made that decision in the awareness that I am not getting any younger, and that as we are planning for God's preferred future here, we also need to start thinking about who is going to be the next pastor of Church of the Savior. By the way, don't get too excited just yet. I'm not going anywhere immediately, as long as the Lord has no other plans for me. But we are aware that one of the elements, the foundation for COT's future, needs to be preparing for an orderly transition in leadership when that time comes, because that will help safeguard the mission of the congregation. The discharge of the building mortgage is obviously a huge victory. It is a huge victory, friends, and we need to celebrate it. Nonetheless, one thing that hasn't changed moving forward is that our capital maintenance project continues. And I hate talking about money. It's not what we're about. It enables, at best, it enables what we're about. But to meet the goal of a major maintenance-free building for the next 20 years, which is the goal of our campaign, we still need to address floor treatments in our basement and main floor and the condition of the brick on the east, south, and west exterior walls of the building. We anticipate needing to raise another $150,000 or so for that work to be completed. But, as you can see in your report document, we also raised over $100,000 towards that building campaign in 2022 alone. We're almost there. All right, no more money. It's a truism that the best foundation in ministry and in life is an effective life of prayer. In the Zoom class that we've been doing this fall and winter on hearing God, we've spent more time on developing an effective prayer life than on any other factor. So I was delighted when Sharon Steinmiller approached me last summer about beginning a group to intercede on a regular basis for Church of the Savior, its people, and its mission. The group was originally going to meet monthly. So they had a meeting. Then I came in the next week, and they were meeting again. And I came in the week after that, and they were meeting again. I cannot emphasize, friends, strongly enough, the value and the vital importance of this ministry. especially as we are in a season that is obviously going to involve considerable ongoing transition. And I am so thankful to God that we have so many leaders at Church of the Savior who get that if we want to find out and walk in God's mission for us, we have to start that process in the place of listening to Him. If we don't do anything else, if we listen, we'll know the next step. Thank you, thank you, thank you to Sharon and your intercessory team. If you're watching this online, later, after you preach. In the hole left by the pandemic, we've seen a host of new or renewed ministries begin to spring up already. The first is the restored Kyrie Cafe. I want to acknowledge Martha Ori's many years of devoted service in this ministry as she has had to move to an assisted living facility. And also Pat McBroom for her quiet leadership in taking over Martha's role. But also Myron and Marianne Manisterski for their work in reinstating a cultural sensitive opportunity for worship and prayer as part of the lunch. It's a first step, but it's a vital first step. In a couple of other instances, we're intentionally starting ventures small. I'm so thankful for Mike and Suki Casas and their care for our church school children. We offer this ministry right now for two, because they need it, but also in the expectancy that there's going to be more to come. For the same reason, we've consolidated our office and workroom space on the main floor in the expectation of future remodeling so that space can become more child and youth friendly. Another anticipatory move you may have noticed is that our worship leaders are now beginning each service by welcoming visitors and newcomers, whether there are actually any present or not. Again, the sense we're hearing God say is if we act now in anticipation of these needs, we'll be ready when the needs actually arise. And our intercessors have been hearing the Lord say that the need is going to arise, that we need to prepare to welcome new believers in Jesus because He's going to bring them. I do need to add a word of caution to all of this. I find, personally, and some of you may have a similar perception, that my own eagerness to move into a new normal keeps bumping up against the realization, yet again, that there is no new normal. Or perhaps even harder, that the new normal is so different from the old normal that it simply perpetuates all the discomfort I associate with the pandemic. Those of us who read William Bridges' classic work on managing transitions a couple of years ago may recognize in this sort of experience that, yet again, Church of the Savior is in that very uncomfortable space, what Bridges calls the neutral zone, where the old is gone, but the new has not yet come in. Maybe we aren't even particularly sure what the new might look like, or even if there will be a new. If that's where you are today, I want you to be encouraged. Hang in there. There is a new day coming. God does have a preferred future for Church of the Savior. And we can see the indicators of that event, that future, in the events of 2022. Again, in 2022, we discharged the building mortgage and got rid of that albatross. We have finally completed work in our worship space. We've cleaned out the building. Church of the Savior has turned a significant corner. A great burden has been lifted off our backs. We have new leadership being raised up, new ministry possibilities, new opportunities the Holy Spirit is inviting us into. Another part of our life together that's shortly going to be restored is our gathering together in live small group setting outside Sunday morning. You heard Pastor Myron's description of our Lenten program a few moments ago. It's going to be the first chance we'll have had as a congregation to gather outside of Sunday morning worship since 2020. As we pray and reflect together, we're going to have an opportunity together to begin work on the foundation for the future life and ministry of Church of the Savior. Like the first little green shoots of plants that actually in my garden are already starting to poke out of the soil, for those who engage in that practice, you may be seeing similar things. What we see today may not look like very much, but given time, these new ventures are going to grow up, blossom, and bear fruit. In 2023, the primary task for Church of the Savior is going to be engage seriously the process of discerning what may be God's preferred future to build on that incredible legacy of missionary focus that makes Church of the Savior uniquely what we are, and if I may say from my perspective, that makes me feel so privileged to be part of this extraordinary community. I don't know another that I would compare. Friends, God is at work among us, preparing an incredible future of Kingdom of God life and harvest here. I invite you to join me in prayer, discipleship and ministry, and above all, confident expectancy as this year we work together with the Lord to build the firm foundation for the future of Church of the Savior. I am so excited about what God is doing here and is going to do. And my prayer is that we can share in that expectancy and work together. Thank you for your role in all of this and for your presence and ministry here.